Mics are live.
Yes. Do that. Okay. All right. Well, good afternoon. This is Julie Fedorchak with the Public Service Commission. We are on the 12th floor, gathered today on January 11th at 1 p.m. for a work session on case number PU-14-842, a Dakota Access Pipeline siting application. We've had a number of work sessions. This may hopefully be our last. I think we've come to the end and worked through a large number of issues in the last months on this project. And so we will just kind of get right to it. I've got a number of things that I'll start with after opening comments from my colleagues, and then and then we can go back and circle back if you guys have issues that aren't covered with the discussion that we have with our attorneys. Okay, so Commissioner Crispin, any opening comments from you?
Well, I do. First of all, just
Your mic isn't on.
Thank you for the reminder. First of all, it was interesting to get our first cold weekend out of the way of the winter, and even our new state residents seem to have made it through okay, so that's certainly good. On a more serious note, you know, my background before coming to the commission with the legislature, I was, with that background plus my work here, have felt that conflict of interest issues need to be taken very seriously, because on the one hand, you just don't want people with conflicts to be making the decisions. On the other hand, if we claim them too easily, we deprive constituents of us doing our job. And so I always find those to be tough calls unless they're very obvious. In April of 2015, I notified the commission by letter of certain facts related to a potential conflict of interest in this case. Also in that letter, I notified the commission of my conclusion at that time and based on those facts that existing circumstances did not constitute a conflict of interest. I noted in the letter that because I saw no conflict or potential conflict, I would not recuse myself at that time from further participation in this case. I will be producing a revised written notification to the commission and all involved that certain facts have now changed. Dakota Access LLC has entered into negotiations with my mother-in-law to acquire an easement to allow them to alter their route and place the pipeline on her property for approximately 2,755 feet. My mother-in-law has also recently conveyed the property in question to my wife and sister-in-law and reserved a life estate for herself. So based on these changed facts, I am now recusing myself from further participation in this case.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Randy. Does that mean you're going to leave, or what do you do now? I mean, like, are you just joining the audience, or...
I've put a lot of work into this, and it's still an open meeting, so if I don't see any reason. I'd be just over in the office listening on the internet anyways. So
right.
If you don't.
But you don't ask questions, I assume.
Around. No,
I have any more involvement.
I'll not be participating
okay.
anymore.
Very good. All right. Scoot away further from me. All right. Okay. Commissioner Kalk?
Thank you,
anything
Madam
besides the 5 feet?
I guess I wasn't going to get to that. I was thinking more about the Vikings field goals than I was thinking.
Oh.
To follow through on what Randy just said, I appreciate you letting us know on this, Randy, because when you first talked about this back in April, I thought it was something that I was really glad you brought out, because the fact that it was going close to your family's property, I thought that was really good foresight back then, and now I think I certainly understand what you're doing and agree. Just for the broader audience, the commission has procedures in place if we need to get a third vote, but I think with Commissioner Fedorchak and I's previous discussion, I think we're kind of headed the same direction here on, and with particular with your opening comments, that I know where I'm at on this, and hopefully today we can get the final work session worked out and we can bring this to a vote on the 20th. I really don't have any outstanding issues that have not been taken care of since the last work session, so I'm just looking forward to any questions you have, and we'll wrap this thing up.
Good. Okay, so just for final discussion. There's a few things I wanted to talk through. First of all, Julie, can you update us on the latest with the SHPO and their communications with our office following the meeting with the company on the Class 3 reports and how the company plans to deal with mitigation measures on issues that were identified in those reports?
Yes, Madam Chairman, I did receive a call from Paul Pica at SHPO and Susan Quinnell, and they indicated that their discussions are ongoing. They are waiting still for additional information from the company. So when that information comes in, they will review it and make their determination. So we don't have anything else.
Okay. And they had previously asked us to not issue a certificate with the typical, what we typically do with, you know, pending their approval. But is that their current wish, or have they changed that?
We discussed, as been done in other orders, they asked if we could just simply put a condition in the order, as we've done in other orders in the past, saying that requiring SHPO concurrence prior to working on any portion for which that concurrence is necessary.
Okay, so they're comfortable with that.
They are comfortable with that.
All right, very good. That wraps up that issue. Can you characterize the latest discussions with Enbridge?
Morning, Commissioners. I'll handle that question. On January 6, 2016, a letter was filed by Enbridge Council, including a January 5th, 2016 letter from Council for Dakota Access, essentially summarizing the agreement between the companies on co-location issues. And as reviewing that, you'll recall the issue was contentious in the sense that certain lines of Enbridge were going to be near proposed routes, proposed areas for Dakota Access's line. And the companies did have numerous meetings to discuss, and I believe those meetings resulted in this letter outlining the agreement of the two parties, because Enbridge, North Dakota Pipeline Company, has intervened and is a party in this action, does contain the agreement between the parties and satisfies or should satisfy the co-location issues that that may and likely are to arise with these two pipeline companies.
Okay. Is there anything on that language that discusses reclamation or not necessarily?
There is.
Does it not get that specific?
If Commissioner, if the last sentence on that, and I'll just read it, it's fairly brief. If construction occurs concurrently in that 1 mile section, approximately Sandpiper milepost 8.9 to approximately milepost 10, where Dakota Access and North Dakota Pipeline Company share a corridor, the interior line will be constructed first, with the company constructing the second or outermost line to perform and be responsible for the restoration work of any overlapping temporary workspace. So there is mention of that in the agreement. There is additional mention throughout, but it's fairly it's in there.
Yeah.
There is discussion of that.
Yep. And in thinking through this further, the reclamation was a concern from a lot of the folks who spoke, who have an interest in this particular area, those folks who spoke during the public hearings. And I feel that we can address a lot of those concerns through the construction inspection process, the third-party construction inspection process, because we will have those inspectors out for both the lines. So those inspectors should help be able to help identify if there's any question who's responsible. They should be able to help identify which company did what, because they'll be working on each of those projects separately. So I think that that provides the comfort I need to work through those concerns that were expressed by the public at our hearings.
If you don't mind, I had a couple follow-up on that.
Yep, absolutely.
And I agree with everything you just said on all that. I appreciate the companies working this out because I think they heard our comments at the last work session and said, you two figure out what you want, otherwise we'll figure it out for you. So I'm glad they put this in there. My question, though, Zach, is the other interveners in the case that aren't party to this, do they get a look at this, and how does this get into the record?
This was included as a proposed order submitted by the companies. So it's proposed findings, proposed order. Getting maybe a bit of ahead of ourselves, but I do have some news on the interveners represented by Mr. Derek Broughton. I received an email correspondence from Mr. Johnson, who represents Dakota Access, this morning, and then a follow-up phone call I had with Mr. Broughton indicating.
Let's stay here before you go there, because that'll spin us
off. I think.
You want to wrap it up?
My long-winded answer is basically the interveners for Mr. Broughton have reached an agreement with Dakota Access as to their disputed issues. So those interveners, Mr. Broughton informed me this morning that he's not going to be submitting proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order. Certainly the one other intervener certainly can do that, has not done that, has the opportunity to review, has the opportunity to comment on that, but has not.
So their issues are resolved, but
yes.
Do they have special standing on this agreement?
No.
Because they're interveners? That's,
no.
I guess...
Well, I mean,
they would have seen they
would have seen it because they were served with this. If you look at the service document, they received a copy all of the.
So what you're saying though is that, okay, I'm just thinking ahead once again. Potentially, if someone doesn't like this, it's an intervener, and we issue the order, then all of a sudden they want to appeal it based on the fact they didn't get a look at this.
They
would have got a look at it.
Yep.
But by them not commenting, does that reduce their ability to have successful appeals on something if they don't like it?
Well, I mean, I think it certainly says something. I mean, anytime there's an appeal, there's always an appealable issue, and there's always going to be an argument in any case. But the fact of the matter is they did receive, there's a service document here indicating that all of the parties, interveners included, were served.
Can
with
we
this,
put something like that in the final order? On such and such a date, we received this, all the parties did, and just no comments were received, just so we make a point in there that, yes, everybody got this. They had no particular comments, which if they would decide to do something, it buttons it up that they had a chance to look at this.
Yeah, I think we can do that. That's perfectly fine, yeah.
Okay. Thanks. That was it.
Okay. Why don't we just, I think that covers the issue with Enbridge then. Why don't we work towards, go through the Broughton issue. Tell me what they filed, Zach, and how that's going to be incorporated into the order.
Commissioner, they didn't actually file anything. What I received was an email this morning from Blaine Johnson indicating that that an agreement in principle had been reached with the interveners represented by Mr. Broughton. I emailed Mr. Broughton, and before he responded to my email, he called me and indicated the same as Mr. Johnson had indicated, that they had reached an agreement. Mr. Broughton had called me last week indicating that he planned to submit proposed findings to the commission and would have those either Friday or early today. And he called me this morning indicating that he would not be submitting the proposed findings of his clients, the interveners he represents in this matter. I can certainly get something from him in writing, but at the same time, the fact that they are not, they've apparently reached an agreement, I don't believe that anything has, and I could be wrong on this, I'm speculating a bit, but I don't believe anything has necessarily been signed by everything to get everyone to sign off on it. I don't believe has happened, but I think in principle everything has been agreed upon. So we could get something and put it in there.
The fact that last week they were going to propose findings, which suggests they were going to propose a different approach and different requirements.
Correct.
That we would then be asked to look at incorporating into the order, and today they are saying they don't need to do that.
That's correct.
Then we can conclude that they're satisfied with where things are going with Dakota Access and that they've gotten what they need, especially in terms of the reclamation.
I would agree with that, yes.
Okay. And do you have then what that does to the total number of easements?
I do.
Was there a chunk that
yes,
they were kind of controlling?
I do. And approximately 95% acquisition. Let me just read this. Dakota Access currently has 87% easement acquisition, reaching the agreement with the Broughton interveners. Then the percentage acquisition would be approximately 95%.
Okay.
Which would also satisfy, you may remember, the State Trust Lands Department wanting 95% before they would sign off. But as I understand it, too, they have...
signed off.
They have, yeah. Right.
Okay, very good. So that covers the easements, that covers the interveners. The waivers, there was one outstanding waiver, I think, after our last work session that's been...
That has been filed, yes.
Okay, so all the waivers are filed.
All the waivers are in, yes.
There was one landowner who had issues with the tree removal. My understanding in talking with Julie that landowner has worked that out with the company and they've signed their easement.
That is my understanding.
Okay.
Yes.
So that issue is taken care of. Good. Okay. The only other, there's... one other issue that I wanted to talk about, and that is the construction inspection process. And Brian, this is just a heads up. The law provides for us to receive a siting fee to process the case, and it's a formula based on the cost of the project, right? $500 for each $1 million of investment. This is $1.4 billion in investment. It's capped at $100,000. So despite the fact that this project is many times larger in terms of value and scope than a lot of them that we cite, we didn't receive extra siting dollars to cover those costs. And... So just in looking at how much we've cost to process the case, we've used almost half of those siting dollars. We will not have enough siting dollars to cover the cost of the third-party construction inspection. So we're working with our attorneys to look at what other alternatives, and staff, Pat, to look at what other alternatives. The law allows for us to go to the Emergency Commission to request additional funds. I don't know if it's sort of silent on whether the company can voluntarily offer additional funds or not. And then there's also consideration that the law requires two processes, a route and a corridor, and a siting fee for both, and we just collected for one. So there's some discussion going on between staff and our legal counsel on whether there could have been just, you know, twice as much collected for siting to begin with, which would have given us enough to process it. So that's just an issue I throw out there. I don't know how you feel about it. We've worked hard to create a construction inspection process that is meaningful, that will help provide the oversight needed on all our construction projects, but certainly a project of this magnitude. And so I personally don't want to try to shortchange it and do it for, you know, on the cheap for a project of this scope. So I just wanted to throw that out to you. It doesn't necessarily hold up the order, but we do have to have the construction inspection process in place before there can be construction. So, do you have any thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. First off, I think you bring out a very good point that we've talked about before, where the cap of $100,000 is set, I think it's set by statute.
It is.
So I think that we've had previous cases where we've had this come up before. And so one case, we were doing a rate case with Xcel Energy, basically went back to them and said, will you double your filing fee? And they said yes. So we have done that before. We have talked about going back in and having given the statute some flexibility, where in these cases that are much more complex, much more distance, much more issues, that we have the ability ourselves to change that filing fee, mm-hmm. which I think we should do that. And there's also, too, this can come out of, like as you pointed out, our own budget. So, because we, for the filing fees and our own siting, this was always a commission expense. So I think I'm open to any one of those ideas. I think the first thing, if we talk to the company and see if they'd be willing to do that.
Yeah. And well, that would be my preference, too, if the company would look at it and offer to provide the additional funding. Julie is getting the did you get any ballpark figures from K2? Okay. I mean, she has been working feverishly for the last week plus to get the figures from the engineering consultants who will be doing the third-party construction inspection, and they're working on it, and we don't have those yet, so we don't really know what we're looking at in terms of dollars, but I guess personally I'm comfortable saying that we should be able to cover it within the $200,000, all of our expenses, which would have been what the company would have filed if they filed the route and the corridor. And did they ask to waive the fees, Zach? Were the fees, because I know there's a bunch of waivers requested. I just don't know if the fees are part of that waiver.
I would have to go back and look. I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
And I think no matter what we do in this case, we should go back this next session and ask for the ability to change that.
Have
based on each case, because this is not the first time it's come up.
Yeah.
Or another FTE for post-construction inspections.
Yeah. Which, personally, I like the way we do it because it allows the private sector to benefit and then it allows us the flexibility. I mean, we're not going to be in this build-up phase for 10 years, so why would we hire a full-time person?
And that's why they did the filing fee.
Yeah. So. Okay, well, that's an issue that we need to stay focused on the next couple of days and try to button up. I do want to mention, because as we kind of wind down here and work through all the final issues, I want to mention something that we mentioned a lot during the hearing process, but I think it bears repeating, and that is that one of the biggest concerns in the process of the hearing was reclamation. And we heard that over and over and over. And I think it's the company has worked, you know, obviously pretty closely with the interveners, and those were some of their biggest issues. And the fact that they've signed off leads me to believe that they're making some serious commitments on reclamation. And furthermore, we have a certification document, which basically outlines 35 additional conditions that the company agrees to abide by. Many of them are reclamation related. Their construction, operation, landowner notification procedures, but there's 35 different additional requirements beyond what's listed in the order that really outlines the process that the company will follow throughout the construction and operations of this line for the life of the line. And I think that provides quite a lot of leverage for us long-term in overseeing this project and should provide quite a lot of certainty to the landowners that they are that they have high standards that they have to operate by, and we have some legal requirements that they have to live up to, and we can use our authority to hold them to those. So I think that with that in mind, I think I don't have any other remaining issues. Did we miss anything, Zach, Julie? Okay. I know the company's eager for this. They've asked us to have a special meeting. We do not have an order yet that we have seen. And it's a pretty lengthy, it's going to be a pretty lengthy, important document. At this point, I am not inclined to have a special meeting to push this through. We have one in just 8 days. And I think that we're going to need the next few days to run this through our staff channels and do it appropriately and not rush it in the end. So barring staff working, you know, and this going, you know, extra smooth the next few days and us feeling really comfortable that we could do it sooner, I'm not inclined to do that. I don't even know what your schedule is, Brian.
No, I think that they have no SHPO concurrence letter. They're not going to build. Our approval is just one of the processes. So I think it's fine to stick to schedule.
Yeah.
They still are waiting for other things that they have to wait on. So.
Yeah. Okay. That's where I'm at, too.
I did have one question for Randy, though. Other than your statement today, do you submit something officially and signed to put in the record? How does that, just out of curiosity?
Yes, I mentioned that I will be submitting a written letter.
Okay. And then we don't, does that have to go around to everybody, just like add it to the record like everything else? Just want a good clean record, Zach.
No, it'll go on the record, and yeah, I suppose we will send that out. It should be sent out to all parties so they're aware of it. So we will do that once it's ready to go.
Okay.
Yep.
That was all, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I want to thank Zach and Julie for your hard work on this project. It's been months of work. I think you've done a really thorough job. I appreciate all the public input we had on this project. I think it's been, you know, a very open process, and we've had good dialogue. We've really listened to every single issue that folks brought forward, and so I think, you know, from all standpoints, it's been a good, successful siting process, and I think it's the way it's supposed to go. So thank you, everybody, for your hard work. And I think that concludes the work session on case number PU-14-842.
Right. Otherwise, if you have any questions, I'm going to ask questions from the staff. So you're trying to.